You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Everybody, it's another episode of Grindhouse Messiah. We're back to the best time of the year, fucking Halloween. Time to watch horror movies, drink pumpkin spice shit, wear sweatshirts, enjoy the weather, drive up to North Carolina, look at the changing of the seasons, you know, all that shit. So welcome back, but with me, as always, we got Justin. What's going on, man?
I'm doing pretty good, and how are you, my friend?
Oh, man, living the dream. But more importantly, we got a good friend of the show, one of my favorite people, Josh Berkey of Victims and Villains. How's it going, man?
Whoop, whoop. What is up, my man?
Dude, this is a really goofy... we got a lot of good energy tonight.
We really do. We had a little bit of an ICP thing going there with that whoop whoop too.
Oh man,
coming back to the Juggalo life, man. I don't have any Faygo on me tonight. Unfortunately, I'm all out of Faygo.
Yeah, it's really sad how often we talk about Juggalo culture on this show. If anybody gave a shit, you could play a pretty good drinking game to Juggalo and ICP references. But hey, Josh, man, what you been up to? I know I've been on your show a few times, as well as me and Justin were there for the Christmas episode last year, talking about the Great Gremlins. So tell everybody a little about yourself and your podcast.
Yeah, man. So my name is Captain Nostalgia over on my shows and in my YouTube channel as well. My wife and I, we do a network, I guess, of sorts. We call it a universe of podcasts called Victims and Villains. We are the marriage between pop culture and suicide prevention. So all of our content comes equipped with just general great conversation, but it's put out with the heart to let people know that they have value and that they have worth.
No, that's awesome. And that's one thing that I really love is how with all the great pop culture stuff that you cover between comics and movies and television, that there's always comes back to that kind of core center idea of just remind everybody that they matter. And when you are dealing with things like, having suicidal thoughts or depression, that there's people that give a shit and not to give up and hang in there. But today we're going to be talking about something a little different than hope. Some may say the opposite, which is what, Justin?
The opposite of hope is Rob Zombie. The opposite of hope.
I think so. The internet told me that.
The internet definitely told me that too. Although I'm actually not a big supporter of that claim. I actually like Rob Zombie, which we'll get into. But tonight we are talking about Halloween, but not that one by that guy, John something. We're talking about the important one by Rob Zombie. All right, so I'm being a little facetious, but I will say I am a big fan of this film, and I'm excited to talk about it. And we're talking about that film tonight on this episode, and then you'll be able to check out in a few days over on Josh's podcast. We're following it up with Halloween 2, also not the one from the old movies, but the one by that awesome guy, Rob Zombie. So I don't know that I believe he's the opposite of hope, but I do think that Michael Myers filleting people might be.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, any 46-year-old man directing movies is still in dreadlocks. Got to give him credit.
He's more human than a human.
More human than a human. But yeah, no, I mean, I was really excited that we were going to cover these. I have some weird, I guess not weird, I mean, I think it's earned love for Rob Zombie. I despise his music, as we were talking before we got started. I hate that whole era of music. It's all, to me, it's all garbage, but most of you would probably say my taste in music is garbage. But
yeah, there was a really good band called Garbage. Go on.
Yeah, still don't give a shit about that weird white people stuff. But I do love Rob Zombie's movies. And, I mean, outside of a few misses, it's been pretty well hits for me. I'll admit tonight, I'm going to show my hand a little early. I like watching this movie. I do think it's one of his worst. But I do enjoy watching it. And there's a lot of stuff that I still love a lot. But, I mean, for me, I've always loved Rob Zombie because it's one of the few directors out there who really has, like, a distinct vision. And I think that kind of gets overlooked a lot of times with, you know, with a lot of these very, very polished directors. I feel like especially these first, like, four or five movies, there's just, like, such a wildness to them where it kind of feels like he's making the same movie over and over again, but just trying out new stuff. I don't know. It's a really interesting kind of blend of the two. I mean, what do you guys both think of Rob Zombie overall as a filmmaker and not as a terrible musician?
Well, Josh, why don't you kick us off? Tell us about your thoughts.
Honestly, I really enjoy Rob Zombie as a filmmaker. I hold professed like for years, like this was one of my favorite films as I was kind of getting into the horror genre. It's since gone down on my list, but it's still like Blaine was saying, like it's not a great movie, but it's still entertaining to watch. There's a lot here, and like my guilty, like one of my like highest guilty pleasures has got to be House of a Thousand Corpses. Just the movie is just so wild and bizarre, but it's like it's so wild and bizarre that you just can't take your eyes off of it, and that to me is like what makes a film memorable. Like, I'm probably one of the only people I know that's ever willingly sat through the Human Centipede trilogy and actually been thoroughly entertained by it. They get worse as the trilogy goes on, but I mean, like, it's still like I clamor for original concepts because, you know, while I do like these big blockbusters that we do cover a lot of victims and villains, it's nice to have that sense of originality to where I can look at it and say, oh, well, I haven't seen something like this before. And I'm excited for the ending to that trilogy that he's got coming out next year. But I haven't seen anything past Halloween 2. I know he released Lords of Salem and 31 has been on my list, and Lords of Salem I just heard was a little bit too bizarre for even my taste.
I'm gonna say the opposite. Don't watch 31, but you need to watch Lords of Salem.
Yeah.
But before I go any further with that particular statement, I'll just say that I think my opinion on him isn't that dissimilar from yours, in that I really enjoy him. I like, to me, the Lords of Salem is actually something I'm going to refer to a bunch when we get to Halloween 2 on your podcast, because I think there's a lot of stuff in Halloween 2 that leads up to that. But in his early films, he's certainly got a very trailer park trash aesthetic. It's definitely something that he's very much going for, clearly. And I think that the first Halloween movie that he did is very much has a lot of that aesthetic. Maybe to a fault. I think sometimes it doesn't feel like it fits. But overall, as far as his filmography goes, I would say 31's probably the only film of his that I don't like. I really think he, like Blaine said too, he's got a very original voice. It's his voice. There's not anyone else you could say this is, you know, what he's like. He's not aping someone else. He is himself. And I would say also, you know, he kind of reminds me in a lot of ways of like being like the Kevin Smith of horror, in that he does what he wants, doesn't really care what other people think, and has that like, oh, I'll make a movie even if I just have to, you know, find money under a tree. I kind of dig that, although I probably actually respect him a lot more than Kevin Smith. But that's another story.
Kevin Smith has never gone out and begged his fans and shook their pockets out for Twitter mentions.
No, but he has begged them for their money on repeated occasions, like repeated occasions. So, you know, I guess, you know, he's getting skinny now, so good for him. I should follow suit. But no, I honestly really like Rob Zombie. I actually don't hate his music, Blaine, but I don't love it either. I enjoy some of his songs a decent amount. And I think when I put this episode together, I'm going to play a lot of his music just to piss you off.
Oh, man.
Yes! Do it!
Good for you guys. I'm hoping you guys really enjoy your weird white people devil music. So,
all right, I'll just play a bunch of new tracks from the Carter Five instead. How about that?
I'll take it all day. But hey, one thing I wanted to mention before you guys keep ribbing me about my terrible taste in music, I think it's really funny. All three of us mentioned something that's almost ironic in a sense. We all talked about how original and distinct and everything, and it's funny because we're talking about Rob Zombie, but we're also talking about a remake, which is really strange because in a remake, the last thing you usually mention is something being original or distinct. I mean, what do you guys think of the movie as like an actual, like as a remake and not just as a standalone film?
So I have Rotten Tomatoes pulled up here, and like you guys were talking about, like, this is not a genuinely loved movie. It's 25% right now, and the general critic consensus on here is Rob Zombie doesn't bring any new ideas to the table in Halloween, making it another bloody disappointment for the fans of the franchise. I disagree. I think that he has a It's this film, I feel like, is both a blessing and a curse. I feel like it's a blessing in the sense that it's cool to kind of get this backstory on Michael and more of a modern take on this classic. Because I don't necessarily have a problem with reboots, but when it's a shot-for-shot reboot or it's not really doing anything new and original, then it's kind of like, all right, you know, I will just stick to the classic. But there's a lot about the material in this that makes this a rewatchable and fun film. And I feel like it's the modernizing of this story that really kind of makes it. And I think that he does bring a lot to the table that Carpenter's missed. But that is kind of where, on the flip side, it's a catch-22 because it's also kind of the curse. The thing about Michael Myers is that you didn't really necessarily know a whole lot about him, and that was what made him terrifying. This time around, I don't feel like he's as terrifying, but it's still a fun film.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, because he is far less scary in this movie, even though he's a lot more brutal. I'll be honest, it's been a few years since I've watched the original Halloween, but a lot of the brutality in this film that leads up, I do think, starts to take away from when he actually becomes like full-on Michael Myers, Return to Haddonfield. All that brutality early in the film, it doesn't always make its way to that second half, where that second half just seems a lot tamer as far as violence goes. A lot of, you know, a lot more off-screen kills and things like that, where that brutality is just turned up so high in that first half. I have to admit that the movie does kind of peter out for me as we get like into actual Halloween, because I'm just watching this movie kind of like, oh, like that. I just kind of wish the whole first film would have been that backstory. Like, I feel like the actual like Halloween part is kind of an afterthought that kind of makes the movie go too long. I mean, does anyone kind of agree with that?
I agree in the sense that I believe the best part of the film is the first half, and that's the first half that everybody and their mother laments, like, oh, we didn't need, you know, a backstory. Yeah, you know what? Maybe we didn't, but I will tell you what. I enjoy the backstory. I think it's the best part of the film. I think it's well done. And, I would agree that by the time you get to the second half, the second half does kind of lose something in that respect. But I do think that what kicks off the second half, and this is a little spoiler, but, I'm not going to worry about spoiling a movie from 2007. When Josh was 12. Sorry, I've been making fun of Josh for being young lately, just so everybody missed that. That was my before the thing. And I'm really just doing it because I'm jealous and old. But in all honesty, that the thing about that, that whole thing that gets me is that as the second part ramps up, the kill that most affects me is the first one of the second half. Danny Trejo's character is this janitor dude who like goes out of his way to just care for Mike Myers. He calls him Mikey, you know, from the time he's little all the way through the time he's an adult. And let's just say he doesn't live. It's not exceptionally brutal, but it's brutal because of the emotion attached to it. Like the fact that like, oh, why would you kill this dude? He cares about you, you know? I was really emotionally affected by that, even though I've seen the movie a few times. Every time I've seen it, that scene gets me.
Yeah, I don't really think that hits that point for me. Like, like I said before, I like this movie. I enjoy it. I think it's interesting. But I do have a lot of complaints. And I feel like he does a really bad job of trying to earn that those emotional scenes. Because by the time we make it to that point, like, I'm kind of just enjoying the ride, but not really buying very much of it. It's because after like the verbal assault, which is like the first 45 minutes of that movie, then watching like the hillbilly rapists, basically two dudes from I Spit on Your Grave, just randomly show up inside of the mental asylum,
right, and bring a new commit into Michael's room to rape her in front of him.
Right, and they even do that whole, like, it's like straight out of I Spit on Your Grave, which is just so weird to me. But once again, it's something that's, I think it's repulsive. I think it's kind of out of place in the film. But it's also, once again, it's interesting. Like, why would you ever decide to say, oh man, I want to, while I'm making Halloween, let's homage I Spit on Your Grave as well. And I don't know, it's just, it's such a strange mix that I don't get really any emotional response from this movie whatsoever, except for, like I've talked about on the show a few times, the way that some people are affected by, like, animals being hurt. I hate, like, the constant bullying. Like, I just, because after a while, I'm just like, man, I just feel bad for this kid, man. It's all these garbage pail people, and that's another major criticism that I do have of the film is, it's like, Rob Zombie hadn't gotten that, like, Firefly family kind of vibe out of his system and just keeps it going. That first 15 minutes, I'm just like, fuck, just burn the house down. None of these people need to exist. Like, everybody sucks. Even, like, the principal played by Rutger Hauer, it's like, dude, I don't give a shit about any of these people. But what I do love about this film and what I think is absolutely brilliant is Malcolm McDowell's Dr. Loomis. It is fucking infinitely watchable. It's great seeing that guy actually work with something. And for as bad as I think the writing is in this movie, Malcolm McDowell just takes that trash script and makes it brilliant in those brief moments, especially when he shows up after Once again, we're spoiling the shit out of this movie because you've probably seen it if you're listening to a podcast about horror movies and exploitation. But when he shows up after Michael Myers has escaped and Malcolm McDowell has that showdown with Clint Howard and Udo Kier, that is some of the best scenes of this entire movie, where I wish I could just watch a movie of the three of them just trying to figure this out. Because, I don't know, it's just such a good, just watching these seasoned character actors just go back and forth. And that's kind of the high point for me, and then it just starts kind of declining. But I still enjoy it. I like how weird it gets. I love these terrible, terrible people getting killed. Because that's one thing I do think is a big difference with this compared to the original Halloween. Yeah, they're kind of like shitty teenagers, but these people, everyone is awful. Even Laurie Strode is just another just fucking garbage pail person. As soon as you meet her, she's like just fucking with her mom for no reason. And
the first thing she does when she comes on screen is call her mom a slut and grab a bagel and use the bagel as like a vagina.
Yeah, she's like finger fucking a bagel going, "Oh, mom, such a slut, the hardware store guy, ooh." And like, you show up with her friends and they're like, "Oh, my pussy, ah, da, 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 da." And you're like, "Jeez, who are these people?" Like, and I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I grew up with a bunch of scumbags and weirdos, but I mean, come on, not everybody can keep that level of scumbag going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I always just wait, and it's like Lori's like the sensitive one out of these out of this gang of weird girls, and I don't know, just everybody is such a shithead.
But I feel like that's a way of that they modernize these characters, because you look at where we've gone in from 78 until 2007 as far as like censorship and what the MPAA has allowed in films then versus now. And like, I guess it's like supposed to be like a little bit more relatable to these kids. I personally, like, I don't look at these guys and just and see that, like, that they're just these terrible people. Like, that scene with Laurie and her mom, like, sarcasm. Like, I would do that with my mom. But just because, you know, that's just the kind of relationship that we have. And I guess, like, as a first introduction, it's not the greatest. But again, you don't kind of know, this is Rob Zombie's, this is a completely different version, like, of these characters that we have grown to know and love. And so in that respect, like, I kind of see it, but I do agree with you guys in saying that the introduction to this film ran way too long. There's a lot of the scene. If I was going to cut anything from any of this film to shorten it down and to tighten it up, it would definitely be the first half.
That's not agreeing with me. I actually disagree. I think it's the best part of the film. By like a huge margin.
I feel like it, there's a lot of good stuff, and like that is exactly where the best portions of this film are, but there's a lot that doesn't need to be in there. But it's also it's weird because like the moments where I feel like Rob Zombie is not the greatest writer in the world, but he knows how to craft these moments of drama really well. And like when I was watching the like Halloween 2, like I'll talk about it in our show, like there's a specific moment that I feel like is just really well crafted. It's probably the most well crafted scene in the entire film. Here in this film, I feel like he does have another scene that's very similar to that in the when Mrs. Myers actually decides to commit suicide. Like it's a terrible scene to watch, but emotionally speaking, with the music and the home videos, like, and even the baby reaction, it's a very well crafted, well effective emotional scene.
No, that's definitely true. And one thing that you said, Blaine, that I didn't want to go untouched for me personally is I definitely think they go overboard with the like I said, with the trailer trash aesthetic. You specifically, you were talking about the basically the Firefly family, like that's basically what they are. And you know what I really don't understand, and the one particular character that just really bothers me is William Forsythe's Ronnie or whatever. He's just like, I don't see the necessity of him in any way, shape, or form in this film, and I feel like he's just there so he could have that aesthetic that he likes.
Yeah, I mean, his only reason to exist is to have another body. It's basically so he can have three murders under his belt when he goes in. I really think that's the only reason that Forsythe exists. Outside of that, and just calling a little kid a faggot for like 15 minutes, like it's, I mean, and but I do think like when you tune into Victims and Villains, we'll get into how I think he does do a good job of kind of getting this out of his system. Because even as the movie goes along, you see less and less of that. And for as much as I just complained about all the characters, they do become more interesting and more likable as the movie goes on. After these kids are kind of faced with actual shit going on around town, they do become a little bit more interesting and likable from my perspective. But yeah, I'm so torn on this movie because there's so much that I like, but equally as much as that I dislike. And I don't feel like this movie has any idea what, for as much of the time as we spend with Michael Myers as a kid and learning, he's just like a normal human boy who, you know, who, but also, you know, like a psychopath. But at the end, I mean, is he like a, some sort of like actual boogeyman, or is he just a dude? I mean, it's got a lot. It's got a lot of things that don't come together for me. Because he still gets shot like in the head, right?
Yes, and not even just once. Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's shot three times in the back and once in the head by Dr. Loomis. And I don't understand. I guess I need to slow down on the logic police here because, yeah, there's so much that I'm buying up to this point. I don't see why I give a shit. I like Hellraiser sequels. Why do I care?
Well, I mean, I think, too, that like that goes to the aesthetic of the original vision that Carpenter had, was that it originally, like, this was just supposed to be the Shape. It wasn't supposed to have this, like, deep backstory and mythology, but when they tried moving away with it with Season of the Witch and it failed, it backfired on them, they returned to it, and they were like, oh, we have to kind of find some way to keep reinventing this guy. So Michael Myers became Michael Myers, and he became kind of this, like, supernatural being. And those supernatural moments, I feel like, are what kind of take it out of the story. But I feel like you, like, at this point, they kind of almost kind of feel like a necessity if you're going to do a Halloween movie, which feels really stupid to say, but I feel like it's the truth. Like, that was probably part of his contract at some point. Like, oh, well, you have to, you know, if you're going to pay homage to Halloween, you have to leave the fact in that, you know, he randomly can take bullets. Like, it's never explained. Like, I think, to me, like, maybe he's got, like, some kind of, like, hidden body armor underneath his, like, face and thing, and that's the reason why that he can do it. Like, that's the only logical way I can see a person withstanding bullets and getting back up.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, I got toned down on my logic police here because there's so much more to buy by the time we make there that it seems null and void at that point. But Justin, you're staying pretty quiet here on this part. Do you just not give a shit if he's real or not?
No, I don't. I mean, ultimately, I guess I kind of, does kind of bug me because the movie is so based in reality more than a lot of the other ones. I mean, to say that is still kind of funny, because it's not based in reality at all. But I mean, like, it seems plausible in a lot of ways until, you know, until he lives through getting shot in the head and in the back and a couple other places. And as we know in the next movie, he lives through even more of that. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess I have no reverence, virtually no reverence for the Carpenter film. And I get a lot of flack for that. People are like, oh, you must not like Carpenter. No, Carpenter's one of my absolute favorite directors. I think he's at his weakest when he's doing a straight-ahead horror film, and at his strongest when he's a fantasy director. You know, like a bizarre, fun fantasies like, you know, Big Trouble and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, Big Trouble, Little China, and even They Live is one of my favorite films, which is a horror film, but it's a social commentary, and it's more of a sci-fi thriller horror kind of thing, you know? And I just, when he's doing kind of that straight-ahead slasher, it doesn't do much for me. And it's not, you know, it's not through his fault. It's just not my thing, you know? And, you know, and that said, I found this movie just so much more fun and enjoyable than the Carpenter films, because, I mean, they're not all his. But and honestly, like, I always joke around, but it's actually true. And I tell people, like, for me to like a Halloween film, it has to either be directed by a rock star or starring a rapper.
Are you a Resurrection apologist?
Oh, Resurrection was great, man. I'll take Busta Rhymes all day. But you know, I mean, and now I'm half joking. It's not a good movie, but I like that movie more than some of the other stuff in the series. I haven't seen every film in the series, at least not all the way through. But that's solely by design. I've just given up on caring about them. Now, that said, the new one looks freaking awesome, but I think that's mostly because they threw away everything after the first movie and said, oh, yeah, none of that matters anymore. That's all pretend.
Right. Yeah, and also, I mean, like you and I, we've talked about this on the show a few times where we're not big slasher guys. So to me, like, the best slasher, it still does very, very little for me. I mean, like, I like a few a lot, like Sleepaway Camp, Bloodhook. I like weird, shitty ones, but yeah, I'm not like, for me, a lot of these like highly regarded slasher flicks, maybe I just didn't watch them enough when I was younger. But I've never had like this like strong affinity for those types of movies, mainly because it just wasn't what I watched when I was growing up. And I think there is so much that you kind of get embedded with, you know, what you grow up on, what you watch every Halloween. And for me, like, just Halloween was like, oh yeah, that was all right, man. And I just kept going on to, you know, other things that I was into. So yeah, so I don't have that strong reverence either while still being a huge Carpenter fan. I mean, In the Mouth of Madness, Prince of Darkness, They Live, all those are, I mean, Escape from New York. I mean, these are like all-time bangers for me. But when I get to like Halloween, I'm just like, it's a fine film. It's just, it doesn't, when you say Carpenter, that's not where my brain goes. I mean, you know, the same thing that I've gotten shit. Yeah, the same way I've gotten shit for not thinking The Thing is like the best horror movie ever. And like,
I think it's, I wrote something about how Prince of Darkness is, Mouth of Madness is the best film in the Apocalypse trilogy, and then people are like, oh, you like it more than, so you, that means you don't like Prince of Darkness? No, I think Prince of Darkness is the second best. And they're like, wait, what? You know, like, people are like, so you don't think The Thing is, nope, The Thing is fine, it's totally acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I like The Thing, but it's, yeah, just like, too. it's just not, you know, in the oeuvre of Carpenter. It's just, those two, I didn't grow up watching them all the time. I grew up watching all those other ones, and it was just, I think that just plays such a part. I mean, Josh, I mean, what's kind of your relationship with Carpenter flicks?
So my relationship with Carpenter flicks is, I am actually on the outside. To me, like, the first Halloween, the original one, is kind of like the pinnacle. I have gone through, so Victims and Villains has gone through all 10 coverages through spinoffs and original content. We've covered all 10 in anticipation for the new film.
You are a champion.
And while there are a lot of films in the franchise that I think are really good, I think that there are some that are really crappy. I think the original one is still the best one.
That's 90% of the world. We're the freaking weirdos.
It's so like the. It gives you just enough that you need in the beginning to where you don't need all this backstory. But again, that's why I appreciate the Rob Zombie film, is because the backstory that was missing in the first one, you get it here. And you kind of understand a little bit how Michael turned out the way that he did. But to me, like, I feel like once that film kind of gets going, it's shot really neat, the music's really good, the pacing of the film is just really tight. It doesn't waste any time. It uses everything to its advantage, and to me, like, that's why I really enjoy it. I've seen other Carpenter films that I really do appreciate. So I mean, like, Carpenter's, I don't know, like, Carpenter, I haven't seen enough of his films. Like, I've seen, I don't know what all I've seen of John Carpenter. To kind of, like, really truly, I guess, appreciate him as, like, this, like, filmmaker masterful, because, like, when I got into, like, really got into film, like, the first guy that I went to and, like, started studying filmography was Alfred Hitchcock, and that's just kind of where I stayed, and then I dove into, like, Tim Burton next, and so I'm still catching up on some things.
Oh, absolutely, and Alfred Hitchcock is where you go. I agree with that. Hopefully one of these days we can cover some Alfred Hitchcock, but Justin won't let me. Oh, man.
No, you can cover it. You can cover it with Josh, and I'll just bow out.
But yeah, man, that's what I mean, like, going back to, especially as we're going through, you know, horror movies for Halloween in October. A lot of this, like, people get real butthurt on the internet and, like, really throw fits about what you like, what you don't. And a lot of this stuff, I think, is just, it's what you're kind of exposed to, what you have time to watch over and over again, and kind of where you jump in. So that's one thing I've always thought was really funny with, like, you know, like, the backlash when Justin wrote the article, you know, not even trashing Halloween, just being like, it's not my favorite movie of all time.
Well, I mean, like, I basically, and I think what bothers me about Halloween has nothing to do with the movie. It has to do with the fact that people are like, oh, it broke so much ground. And then, of course, my whole point was, like, actually, it just did stuff other people did, but it got more popular.
It did do it better. I don't want to give that film, I don't want to downplay it, because it still does, the job. Really, and it does it very well.
I don't disagree that in some respects, but it's nothing it did it do first. Like, I would even argue that, like, well, I did argue that that, like, I don't even see it necessarily as, like, one of the best examples of the Final Girl. Like, in the same year it came out Alien, Ripley is about 10,000 times the Final Girl, and then before it, TCM came out. So, you know, which I would argue that Sally Hardesty is a better Final Girl. But that said, I actually really like Jamie Lee Curtis, and part of the reason I'm really excited about the new film is because I like Jamie Lee Curtis as she gets older more and more. Like, I think she's a badass older woman, and so I'm really stoked to watch her, like, in that respect.
No, and that new movie, I am super excited. I'm a big fan of David Gordon Green. I'm really curious. I tried forever to avoid trailers, but I've been, you know, with being an AMC Stubbs member, RIP Movie Pass, I have not been able to avoid seeing, like, those trailers over and over again. I'm just so fucking excited, because David Gordon Green's one of those guys who's kind of jumped into every genre over his career, and seems to do them all really, really well. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how it turns out on that side. I mean, but can we all agree that this movie does have something that that John Carpenter's films did not have?
What's that, Sherry Moon Zombie?
A bunch of rude titties in this one.
There's a lot of random. inserts of nudity that I can't pretend I don't appreciate.
it's so put in there. Like that's one thing I do love about it, because this is another thing that kind of goes through my brain while I'm watching this movie. Is when I was younger, I'd always hear that these slasher movies were full of, you know, all this sex and violence. You go back to the first Halloween movie, it's pretty tame overall when it comes to actual sex and violence. And this movie like kind of fulfills all that slasher promise of kind of what slasher films became. And you do kind of get that sleazy side that I think and love about Zombie, you know, that he just cannot control himself and has to put like, you know, brutal head crushings and random titties.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely part of the aesthetic.
I like how you're just like, yep, that's it, man. That's the painting that we're putting together here. Well,
pretty much.
Well, on that note, I think we've probably talked about Halloween about as much as.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah.
Make sure you guys are checking out our next next installment, which is going to be over on Josh's podcast. Josh, tell everybody about your show again and where to find it.
Absolutely. If you guys, just to remind you guys again, Victims and Villains is the marriage between pop culture and suicide prevention. And if you would like to, if you guys are listening to this right now and you guys need resources because you're struggling with suicide, addiction, self-harm, or depression, please go to victimsandvillains.net/hope, where you guys can get the resources and education that you guys need to better understand why suicide is such a big deal and why we should be talking about it more and how easily you guys can overcome. Well, I guess easily is a bad word to insert there. How easy it is to take the first step towards recovery. And you guys can find us everywhere on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes, and YouTube.
No, awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate everything you guys do there, and appreciate you coming on the show for our special, coverage of Halloween. Don't forget, guys, to go over to Victims and Villains, show them a bunch of love. We really appreciate you guys all hanging out with us and just kind of basically be more of a laid-back episode, just kind of three friends chatting about a movie we watched. So appreciate everything that you guys do. Hey, too many J's here. Cut that out.
You know I won't.
Everybody, I swear I'm not as dumb as I seem on this show.
No, Justin, you're not that dumb.
Justin, man, could edit me and make me seem less dumb.
Oh, I edit every stumble I make out, and then I leave all yours in just because I want to make sure people know.
Oh,
I'm,
man.
Yeah. But what I'm guessing is you wanted to know if I had anything to add, and I do. I just want to remind everybody that we're on Patreon, so go to patreon.com/grindmessiah, and you know, any little bit that you can give towards the hosting costs and stuff that we do to do this podcast, we'd love. Just show us some love there. We also have a bunch of cool perks. So if you give to us, you get free stuff. Additionally, we have some merch over at grindhousemessiah.bigcartel.com. And there'll be a link here. We have t-shirts. We have hats. And, that's really my last plug. So I my last final thing is we usually end with recommendations. And my only recommendation is that everybody, when they're done, head on over to Victims and Villains and listen to us talk about Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right. Fantastic. And seriously, those shirts turned out so awesome, as well as the hats. So even if you don't like us or our opinions on John Carpenter, buy a dope fucking t-shirt. It'll keep you from, weather and things like that. It's better than not wearing a shirt.
Oh, and shout out to Dan Roth, Dan Roth's Homestead Studios, who made those shirts for us. Freaking awesome.
Really awesome. So thank you guys so much. We're going to be back. We're going to be doing weekly episodes for the month of October. So we can't wait to see you guys next time. Thank you so much. We love you all, and peace. Thank you.
Bye.